Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
To Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. That's where we're going to start. The title of this is Faith Thinking. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. Our faith should be increasing. The Bible said about Abraham, we read in Romans 4 how Abraham, the father of us all, had faith to believe God's word. And my friend, our faith has to be anchored in God's word. Faith is not just whimsical thinking. Faith is not just feeling good, or some people say, well, I've got hope. But if your hope is not based in God's word, then it's just wishful thinking. Y'all follow me on that, right? You've got to base your faith on God's word. Now, if God said it, can we believe it?
Yes.
If God said it, does it apply to us today?
Yes.
Can we rest on that? Even though our feelings say one thing, even though our thoughts say one thing, we rest upon what God's word says, right? And so this morning, we're going to talk about our thoughts and how Jesus himself said, address this with his disciples in Matthew 6. So just to give you a little background here, in Romans 4, we find that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Abraham, even though looked at his body and it was beyond childbearing years, he was old, yet he believed God's word where God, and by the way, Abraham didn't have a Bible like you have. Amen. Come on, talk to me, church. Abraham had heard God's voice, and God's talked with Abraham, and that's what Abraham went upon. He didn't have a written copy of the word of God. You have the completed word of God today, right? And so that is our basis of our hope. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, that your faith groweth exceedingly. Here is a church that could be said their faith is growing. I've said before, your faith is either increasing or it's decreasing. You're either getting stronger or you're getting weaker. How do you get more faith? You exercise the faith that you have. In a physical sense, if you lay in bed all the time, your body's going to get weaker, right? Y'all know this. Even in the hospital, they come by, you have surgery one day, they'll come by and they'll get you up, they'll want to get you walking. You say, hey, it hurts, but they're doing it for your good. They don't want a blood clot to set in, they don't want your body to lose. They told us recently, for every day you're in the hospital, it takes 7 days for your body to recoup. Isn't that amazing? For every day that you're laying in the bed in the hospital, that's why they want to get you up. And the same is true spiritually. If all that you get, and I'm thank God for you here this morning, I'm not preaching against you, but I'm saying if all that you get is on Sunday mornings, then your faith is going to get weaker. If all that you get is just at church, your faith's going to get weaker. You've got to get in this book, friend. And so here's what I want you to say. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, you don't need to turn there, just listen to me a second. The Bible said, for whatsoever, and he said whatsoever, not whosoever, but whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith, listen to me now, faith is the key to victory in your life. Come on, let me say that one more time. Y'all help me out. It'll go a whole lot quicker. You'll be able to eat fried chicken in a little while. Faith is the key. And faith is the victory. If you're going to have victory in your life, you've got to have faith.
Amen.
Faith is the key to victory. It is the way to please God.
Amen.
It is the way to get answers to your prayer.
Oh,
it's the only way. Now, every failure in our lives can be traced back to a lack of faith. What did Abraham? He's the father, and man, he was a man of faith, but you remember the story of Abraham. His faith wavered, and he said, hey, you know, I'm going to take this handmaid, and I'm going to have a son by Hagar. He messed up, didn't he? His faith wavered. And because of that, now we have the Arab race, right? And God said, because of their hand would be against his hand, would be against the world from that generation to all. And we see that today. What I'm saying is, your faith can waver, but our faith needs to be anchored in the things of God. Now, turn with me to Matthew 6. This is where I want to get here this morning. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And his disciples are just like you and I. You would have thought that these men that had walked and talked and seen all that they saw would have great faith. But their faith was weak at times. And here I believe we found the reason why they had weak faith. Look, if you would, let's start in Matthew 6:25. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say unto you, now here's this phrase I want you to say with me, church. So when we get to this phrase, you say it out loud. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Now watch this. Just take no thought for your life, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls are there, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why, here it is again, take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not more clothe you, all ye of... Verse 31. Therefore, here it is again. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and some of these things will be added to you. All these things. And then in verse number 34, say it with me, everybody. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient until the day of evil thereof. Jesus said, now watch this, church. Jesus said, don't take that thought. Don't take it. Now, if Jesus said, don't take it, then I have a responsibility. I have a choice in the matter. Either I can take that thought, or either I can refuse that thought. Now, let me say that again. I want this to soak in. Would Jesus tell us something that if we couldn't do it? No. Come on, church, talk to me now. If Jesus said to you this morning, Craig Parrish, don't be thinking about tomorrow. Don't be thinking about what you're going to wear. Don't be thinking about what you're going to eat. Don't be thinking about your clothes. Don't be thinking about any of those things. That's what he's saying to Tina. That's what he's saying to Chip. That's what he's saying to Eddie, to Steve. That's what he's saying to me. Now, if that's the case, then I have a choice in the matter. I can either choose to think about those things, or either I can choose not to think about those things. Are y'all with me so far? Jesus said, don't take no thought for your life. He says, I've got a choice in the matter. Either I can take that thought, or I can choose not to take that thought. It means this, I do not have to think on those things. Amen? I can choose what I allow my mind to think on. You say, I just can't help it, preacher. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I didn't say it was easy. And I didn't say those thoughts wouldn't come to you. But when those thoughts come to you, you have a choice in the matter. You can choose to dwell on those things. You can choose to accept those things. I can go back over here to Craig. He could be sitting here this morning and he could be worried about what he's going to do tomorrow. He could be sitting here in this church, but his mind is out yonder somewhere. You may be sitting here this morning, you may be thinking about the race this afternoon. Is there a race this afternoon? Yeah. You had to think for a minute. Now watch this. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Friend, if Jesus told us to do something, he expects us to do that. And he would give us the power in order to do that. Amen? He didn't say, now watch, you know, this is our thinking today. You know, Brother Steve, people say, I'm going to try my best. Is that what Jesus said? Did Jesus say, Sister Gail, just try your best? No, Jesus said, don't think on those things. Don't allow those thoughts to invade your life. You've got a choice in the matter. Now watch this. He said, don't allow those anxious, worried thoughts to come into you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Probably everybody in here. How many of you got some anxious, worried thoughts? Don't raise your hand. Don't want to embarrass anybody. He didn't say those thoughts would not come. But what he did say, you have a choice in the matter. To allow them to invade you, to just encompass you, and just to surround you to the point that that's all that you're thinking about. Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know why we're going to put the food on the table for the kids. They need clothes. They need shoes. And oh my Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. What are you anxious about? What are you anxious about? Are you anxious about how you're going to make ends meet? Are you anxious about how you're going to pay your bills? How to have money to feed your kids? Now watch this. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of depression, thoughts of defeat, thoughts of intimidation, thoughts of suicide, they will come upon you. But because we live in a sin-cursed world, but at the same time, my friend, we do not have to dwell on those thoughts. I don't have to take them. Is that a true statement? Come on, church, talk to me. I have a choice in the matter. So, preacher, I thought, listen, you have a choice. You can either choose to dwell on those things and live in defeat and live in depression and live in thoughts of hurting yourself, or you can say, by the good grace of God, I'm not going to let those thoughts come upon me. God is bigger than that. My God is more powerful than that. He will supply my need. He will meet everything. He will heal my body. He will deliver my son. He will be the victor in this. Watch this. Look in Matthew. What caused these disciples, and this is a scathing rebuke. Look in verse 30. If the Son of God were to stand here in this pulpit this morning, and he were to look at each one of us, what would he say? O ye of great faith or little faith? Well, I would hope that we'd get on the side of great faith. Amen. I hope these 6-7 messages have helped somebody. Amen. How many of you say, preacher, since you've been preaching this, my faith has increased? Let me just see a praise God. Hallelujah. That's worth it all. But now watch something. What caused these disciples? Look in verse 30. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Why did he have such a scathing rebuke to these disciples? They had been with him. They had seen the miracles. They had seen all the things that he had done. And yet Jesus said unto those disciples, O ye of little faith, I'll tell you why. Look at these verses. Look at verse 25, 27, 28, 31, 34. You know what they were thinking about? They wasn't thinking about what he's going to say or what he's going to do. Look what they're thinking about. Help me out now. They were thinking about where their next meal was coming from. Now, y'all don't do this, do you? Oh, I get some grins now. No. I mean, how many of us, we sit down to a big Thanksgiving meal and we'll just eat and thank God the sister here told on her husband and told him, had a big old birthday party and big old thing of barbecue, hallelujah. I didn't get invited, but I would, amen. But now watch this. How many of us have sat down and enjoyed eating a delicious meal, and then we turn right around and we wonder what we're going to eat for supper? Well, what are we going to have tomorrow? These disciples were no different. I'm just painting a picture. I believe they're walking along, Jesus is walking along, and they say, whew, my belly, you know, it's a growling. I wonder where he's going to stop. There ain't no McDonald's out here. There ain't no Burger King. Where are we going to get our next meal? Yeah, you're right. You know, and these duds I got on, I've been wearing these now for a week. And I don't know where I'm going to get a change of clothes. He ain't got no house. He don't even have a place to lay his head. What are we going to do, Peter? What are we going to do, John? I don't know. I'm in the same boat you boys are. I've been thinking about it myself. I've been thinking about it. I've been worrying myself. I'm about worried sick over it. I just don't know what we're going to do. And Jesus hears this crowd and he says, oh, ye a little faith.
That's right. Come on.
Which one of you, by taking thought, and that, you know what their problem also was? They were comparing themselves. Look what the Bible says. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Jesus must have had a bunch of short disciples. And as they was walking along, one of them said, I wish I was taller. I wish I was about 6'3". Jesus said, why are you so wrapped up about how tall you are? Now, the reason why they had little faith is because they were concentrating on their daily cares. Quit taking those thoughts of fear and worry. That's what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, quit taking those thoughts of fear and worry. What are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? What are you going to put on? Just don't take them. And they're going to come to you, but you don't have to take them. Are y'all with me? Come on. Make a decision not to allow them to control your very being. Some people, all they can think about is fear and worry. It consumes them. It leaves them nervous. It leaves them fretting. It leaves them worried. Look at verse 31. Here is the biggest indicator if you are taking thoughts about fear and worry. Look at verse 31. Wherefore, take no thought, saying. Stop right there. You see that little word? We just run across it. Sister Kay, take no thought, saying. You know what they were doing? They were talking about it. They were talking about their problem. They were talking about their food. They were talking about their clothes. They were talking about everything. They were talking all about that, and all of a sudden, it just like a washing machine, it just kept a going and a going and a going. Hey, listen to me, friend. As if you, one of the evidences that you're wrapped up with fear and worry is you're talking about it. I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know where we're going to make ends meet. I just don't know. Hey, listen. Instead of talking about your problems, hear me out, talk to your problems. Let me say that again. You have a problem. But let me just see a show of hands. How many of y'all got a problem? The rest of you lying. Amen. We all got problems, don't we? And if I allow those to consume me, that's all I'm going to talk about. That's all when I get on the phone with somebody. That's all that I'm going to say. That's all when I get around somebody. That's all I want to talk about. Friend, listen, the very fact that if you're talking about that, look what he said in verse 31. He said, which one of you take no thought saying? He heard this conversation. He heard his disciples. They were talking about, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Jesus said, stop it. Stop it. Take no thought. Hear me out. Jesus, if you don't get nothing else, listen to me now. Jesus spoke to mountains. Jesus spoke to fevers. Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to the waves. And here is my point, my friend. Instead of talking about your problems that you can do nothing about, you speak to that problem, and in the name of Jesus, you either rebuke that problem, you say to that problem, devil, you get behind me, you're under my feet, you have no authority in my life, leave my children alone, my family is delivered, my soul is delivered, my body is healed. You may not feel like it, but you speak and you say, by faith it shall be done. But if you talk about it, it's an indication that you've taken all that care. What did Peter say? Casting all your care upon him, for he cared. If you cast all your care on Jesus, how much care do you have left? Absolutely. Let me hasten on. Got a little time. So let's talk about the thoughts of God. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 second. Just a moment. I'll be done in about 10, 15 minutes. Hang with me. Isaiah 55, verse 7. The Bible is very clear. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. In this world we live in, we think that in order to get ahead, we got to step on people, climb the ladder of success. God says, if you want to be great, become a nothing. If you want to be famous, be a nobody. You want to be rich? Give it away. The way up is down. God's ways are not your ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. But he won't. How many of you believe this? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So we need to be thinking like Jesus thinks. Amen? Jesus does think, right? Yes, sir. All right, watch this. Isaiah 55. Anybody getting any help? Say amen. I know this is some of you is like a calf looking at a new gate. Like, I don't know about it. Now watch this. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and our God he will abundantly pardon. For here it is, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my way. God says this, we need to forsake our thoughts. How do you get rid of your problem? You quit thinking about those things. Satan will put in your mind thoughts against you. Hear me out now. Satan will put in your mind thoughts, I'm worthless. I'm stupid. I'm lazy. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. Hey, honey, when those thoughts come upon you, don't take them. They will come, but you don't need to receive them. You need to reject them. You need to say, hey, that's not God's thoughts. Amen? God's thoughts are, I'm going to prosper you. God's thoughts are, I'm going to bless you. God's thoughts are, I'm going to heal you. God's thoughts are, I'm going to answer your prayer. Satan, on the other hand, John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. I've said it before, I've said it again. It don't matter how he does it. He may attack you. He may attack your health. He may attack your marriage. He may attack your home. It don't matter to him. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But aren't we greater than he that's in us than he's in the world? He'll try to defeat you. He will try and keep you. Now listen to me. He will try, maybe you're sitting here this morning, he will try to keep you from trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. He'll put everything in your mind. Oh, the church is a bunch of hypocrites. I don't have to go to church to get saved. I can do this and I can do this. And he'll put all those thoughts in your mind to try to defeat and discourage and destroy you. My son said this week, I said a while ago, he's 38. He made a profession when he was a kid. I forget now. And he told me, Brother Steve, he said, I tried to tell myself all these years that I was saved. But you know what? Deep down in his heart, he knew he was lost. I knew he was lost. But the Holy Ghost of God had to get on him. And I say this, I said to the church Wednesday night, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. How many of you got a loved one you want to see get saved? Raise your hand. I'm going to tell you that, look, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Here it is. Y'all believe the Bible? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what the key is? You know what we need? We need an old-fashioned brokenness of tears. Amen. I'll say this. I'm not bashing nobody. But if we can come in church and we never shed a tear, then don't expect the lost to get saved. Because the Bible said if you sow in tears, and you got a broken heart, and you're begging God, oh God, don't let my loved one go to hell, and the tear gates are just open and they're flooding. Friend, listen, you ought to get on the altar this morning and say, oh God, break my heart for my son, my daughter, my loved one. I don't want to see him die and go to a devil's hell. Oh God, give me the tears. Tears is what we need. But now here it is. There's never been a person too wicked that God cannot save. Y'all do believe that, right? So, you have a choice if you're unsaved. Let me just take a poll. How many of you, the first time you heard the gospel, you got saved? Anybody in here, first time you heard the gospel, you got saved? See? Thank God for the grace. Amen. You didn't deserve it, but he gave it to you. But how many of you in here, when the preacher preached and you were convicted, you didn't get saved the first time, and the devil come to you and said, just put it off. You'll be okay. Just wait. Hey, when I used to sit as an 11-year-old boy on the back pew back yonder where Sister Jessup's sitting, I could not wait for the preacher to say amen. My hands would sweat and perspire. Had a little black Bible. Still got it at home. I'd sweat. I could not wait until the amen was said and I'd dash out and get in the car. I'm ready to go. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God was getting a hold on me. You have a choice. Aren't you glad for the day that you said yes? Maybe you walked an aisle, somebody sat down with you, prayed with you, and you got saved. What did you do? You chose to ignore those thoughts of the devil. Huh? You chose, my friend. The devil's going to say, wait another day. Come next Sunday. Don't do it now. And you said, no, by the grace of God, I'm going to get saved. And thank God you did. But after you get saved, he still wants to defeat you. He uses the same tactics. He uses your thoughts. After you get saved, you've got to continue to replace those thoughts. Look at me just a second. You can choose. Y'all could be looking at me right now, and your mind is a million miles away. You could be looking at me right now, and you could be sitting in this church service, and you're thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow. What test I got to do this week? What exam it's coming up, and what job I've got to accomplish, and what order I got to fill. You see, you could be sitting here right now, and you are choosing what you're thinking on. You could be plugged in and thinking about this scripture and thinking about what God's going to do in your life, and you could be plugged in and listening to me, but you could be sitting here and your mind be out yonder somewhere. Y'all ever had that to happen? You can choose what you're going to think about. You can choose. Even though you're sitting in church, in your mind, you could be sitting down yonder in a restaurant, and a plate of fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn on the cob, green beans, and piece of egg. Hush your mouth. piece of egg custard pie sitting beside of you. You see? I just got your thoughts. I just got your thoughts. You just chose. And if we can choose to either listen to me, and we can choose what we're going to think about, who's playing what ball game, if Carolina's winning or losing, or the race. If we can choose that, can we not choose when the devil comes to us, Sister Gail, and says, you know, you're worthless, you're defeated, you're discouraged, you're depressed. We can choose either to accept that, or we can say, hey, guess what? I am a child of the living God, and I choose not to receive that. Amen. Devil comes to you and he says, give up hope, they'll never get saved. You've been praying for them for years. Devil, I choose not to believe that. Those thoughts are going to come. But I choose what I'm going to think about. The thoughts you have an effect, not necessarily because of your environment, but you can control what you think about. The Lord constantly reminded the Israelites. Do you remember this? Deuteronomy, the Lord said, now when you come into the land, don't forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Don't forget God. When you built your houses and you sat down at your table and you fed yourself with food, don't forget the Lord thy God. And yet they forgot God. They forgot the blessings of God. Some people say, I just can't forget. I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. It'll never go away. I can't go back to that church. I messed up. They'll never forgive me. They would and they could if you'll forget it. The same blood that saves you is the same blood that cleanses you. By the way, do you know what God said about your mistakes and your failures? Turn over to Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. For the sake of time, let me read it to you. This is what God says about your failures. Anybody in here ever messed up? This is what God said. This is what my God said. Now watch this. I'm going to help you out. Hebrews 8:12. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Again, Hebrews 10:15-17. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now look this way. You don't get nothing else in the next 3 minutes. Get this. How many of you believe that our God knows everything? He knew what we were before we got saved. He knew what kind of low life we were. He knows all there is to know. Now, listen to me. Can God forget? Is God like one of us? Like, I hear people all the time say, you know, I'm not, you know, by the way, be careful of this. I hear people, and they mean well, but don't ever say, somebody said the other day, you know, I'm just so forgetful. As the older I get, hey, I've got the mind of Jesus. Amen. Don't pronounce a curse on yourself. But you may not be able to remember all. My wife, she's got a memory. Oh, Lord. She can tell you where we went 25 years ago, what beach we stayed at, what house, and what it looked like. How do you remember all that stuff? Vaguely remember last month. Amen. All right. Here's my point. Can God forget? Now, don't answer. And the answer is no. God cannot forget. But here's the answer I'm looking for. God chooses not to remember. I might know some stuff on you, but I choose not to remember. I might know some things about people. I choose not to remember. And you need to do the same thing. Amen. You say, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. Watch this. God knows all things. God remembers all things. He's not saying I can't remember that. What he is saying is I choose to forget your past.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
If God chooses to forget and we have the mind of Christ, we can choose. We can choose not to remember those times in our lives of fear and depression and defeat. You see, the devil wants you to live in the past. The devil wants to take you back down that road where you used to, and the blood of Jesus has washed you and cleansed you. But the devil wants to take you back down yonder, and he says, hey, I remember 5 years ago, here's what you did, here's what you said. And you say, oh yeah, devil, you're right. Oh God, you know, I'm so miserable. I know some people, they never can get out of the past. Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind. I can't do anything about them, but one thing, they're under the blood, and my God chooses not to forget them. He'll never bring them up to me. They're in the sea of his forgetfulness. They're as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah to God. I am justified in the sight of God. What do? We choose not to remember. Those thoughts are going to come to you. 2 Corinthians 10:5. You ought to memorize that verse. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Refuse to ponder on those. Refuse to be wrapped up in worry. Refuse to be wrapped up in fear. And also refuse to listen to others that want to bring up your past. You'll go for a little while. It may on the first day or so. How many of you ever been to the gym to work out? Okay. You remember that first day you walked in the gym maybe, and they said, okay, if you ever had a trainer in years past when I could afford it, I had a trainer. And me and my wife went at one time and okay, let's do this, you know. And they'd get you up here and they'd do this number and back down here and this number and the next day, son, oh, couldn't hardly move. And I got to do this again. And then the next time it got a little easier. You know what I'm saying is, when you choose to forget those things, the first day is going to be tough. Second day is going to be a little easier. In a week's time, it's going to get even easier. In a month's time, and before long, guess what? I don't remember those things any longer. They're in my past. And only time the devil wants to reach down and drag them back up, I choose to forget those things. I choose not to remember those things. If God is not going to bring them up, I surely don't want to bring them up. Close with this. How many of you, telling on myself now, how many of you remember Hee Haw?
Yeah.
Hallelujah for Hee Haw. For those of you that don't remember Hee Haw, Hee Haw was a program that come on Saturday nights, I do believe, back in the 70s, and it was just a bunch of redneck having fun. How many of you that watched Hee Haw, you remember Archie? And when he played the doctor. Okay. Brother Steve, you know where I'm going with this? And so, the one of them would come in and they'd say, Doc, it hurts when I do this. You know what Archie'd say? Don't do it. But Archie'd say, they'd say, hey, it hurts when I do it. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Me and Brother Eric, we've talked a lot. He said, preacher, I could never be a pastor. He said, when people start telling me their problems, and so he said, I just tell them, don't do it. Can I tell y'all something? Just don't do it. When those thoughts come on you, and they will, before you, but listen, some of you right now, the devil's unwrapped his snarly talons around you right now, and he wants you to think about your defeat. He wants to think about your discouragement. He wants to think about your problems. He wants you to think about you look up here and you say, hey, that may be good for that preacher up yonder, but he just don't know what I'm going through. Hey, listen, my friend, God says you can choose. Take no thought. Just don't take it. It's going to come, but you don't have to take it. You can refuse it. Just say no to it. Just say no to it. Can we bow our heads for a minute? Musicians, come.